Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour are pretty much a continuation from yesterday because, let's face it, this shooting is rightfully sucking all of the proverbial oxygen out of the room. The mass shooting of kids in Minneapolis, of course, has been unfortunately followed by Democrats blaming guns versus the monsters abusing them. Why is that? Also, D.C. Mayor Bowser has acknowledged that Trump's law enforcement success is indeed something worthy of noting. And, of course, this has been met by other Democrats still in denial over this proven reality. If anything, they're ostracizing her for it. How dare you recognize the self-evident? Additionally, Democrats are winning support. Haven't you heard them? They're telling you. Just ask them. They'll tell you. Hey, we're winning support. They claim they're winning support nationwide. This, of course, is despite the New York Times having reported very recently that they hemorrhaged 2.1 million registered voters while the Republicans gained 2.4 million between 2020 and 2024. And then they added another 166,000 since Trump's return to the Oval. So, are these folks in denial or just sociopathic? What's up with this? Now, obviously, I want to focus in on very quickly the still ongoing revelations surrounding Robin Westman, because around 8:30, as you know, on Wednesday, he, by the way, he's formerly Robert Westman, as I might have said, he went on the shooting spree at a mass held at the Annunciation Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, kills an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, injures another 14 children. I think they were between the ages of 6 and 15. Three seniors were also shot. They were in their 80s. All these folks are hopefully, it does appear that they will survive. But still, two children lost their lives. The reason why so many of the kids were disproportionately in middle school is because they were the ones who were heroically trying to save the little ones, the very little ones, and good on them. I don't think there's a language born on this planet that has the appropriate vocabulary to describe what transpired that day and the bravery that was shown. Now, of course, Democrats are countering this by predictably calling for more gun control versus more criminal control. How productive is that argument, given they consistently fail to show the linkage between removing gun rights and stopping shooters? What is up with that? I do not understand it in the least. Can anybody else? Can anybody else? I mean, how does disarming the law-abiding stop the lawless who would do them harm? Where's the link? There is no linkage. None whatsoever. Now, Democrats respond by saying, well, most shooters are also law-abiding until they aren't. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what you're hearing from like people like Hakeem Jeffries and others, the House Minority Leader. Nancy Pelosi has said that in the past. Well, you know what? We all allow there to be would-be DUI folks getting into cars, don't they? I mean, we let all would-be DUI folks buy and drive any car they want until they're caught as a DUI perpetrator. Isn't that fair to say? I mean, by the Democrats' measure, nobody should be allowed to buy and drive a vehicle because, well, guess what? He or she might get behind the wheel and kill somebody. Just like they say that no one should be allowed to purchase a firearm because he or she might kill someone. I mean, this is silly, is it not? I mean, am I wrong in saying that it's never defensible to abridge the rights of the many just because of the possible abuses of those rights by the few? It makes no sense. And you can hear these dodos, too. I mean, while attending the Annunciation Church's Catholic School press conference, this Minneapolis Democrat, Mayor Jacob Frey, he said, quote, I think the impetus has to be on all of us as leaders to do a whole lot more to recognize that we've got more guns in this country than we have people. And he wants to ban more guns. And then if you don't do that, you're somehow immoral. Former White House press secretary to Joe Biden, Jen Psaki, pretty much echoed that as well. You know, oh, I'm tired of hearing about the thoughts and prayers because what we really need to do is ban guns. You know, if we're serious about saving children, we want to ban guns. I don't want to hear the thoughts and prayers. Well, aside from the fact that a lot of people have thoughts and prayers as a way of dealing with tragedy, not that they think it's going to prevent the tragedies, they just use that as a vehicle of venting their anxiety and their trauma and their shock. But put that aside, Jen Psaki's position, much like Mayor Frey's position, much like Governor Tim Walz's position, governor of that state, is that you're somehow immoral by opposing a gun ban because by doing so, you're putting lives at risk. That presupposes that gun bans translate into the saving of lives. Well, the only thing that makes that so nonsensical is that you wind up disarming the innocent. The law-abiding. How does disarming the law-abiding suspend the egregious acts of the lawless? And don't forget, you're talking about a right people have been accustomed to having. It's like booze. When they illegalized booze with prohibition, guess what happened? Pardon me, an entire industry took place. Because people were accustomed to getting booze. They always had a right to have it. What are you going to stop them now? Oh, in the name of stopping the tearing down of families by those who can't hold their liquor and become alcoholics, and wind up proving to be corrosive to their families. In the name of that, we're going to go ahead and say all of you who can drink responsibly must now do without. We already went through that crap. Trust me, you outlaw guns, there will be, well, there's going to be more than a black market. You can have a civil war in your hands because without the Second Amendment, you have none of the other protections under the Bill of Rights guaranteed because then you're at the mercy of whatever government's going to do. We forget that the only reason why there is a Second Amendment is because without it, you really don't have much in the way of protection. You really don't. You really, really don't. But the gun controllers' argument never changes, does it? They cite shootings as the reason for all their bans, all the justification of their bans, even though they can never show connectivity between the proposed solution and the cause of the problem needing to be solved. I'm sorry, but passionately referencing deaths connected to guns does not validate your proposed solution for it, okay? Just pointing to a recent tragedy and saying, oh, if we ban guns, this won't happen, it doesn't validate your solution for it. You can't show a connectivity between the banning of guns and the stopping of gun deaths because those who are abusing the rights that the majority of us are not would still get it through the black market. It would still kill people. I mean, by that measure, we could point to the deaths resulting from aspirin overdose and outlaw Bayer and Excedrin, or cite traffic deaths to ban cars. Or how about arson deaths? Reference arson deaths as grounds to justify the banning of matches and lighters. It doesn't work. What are we going to do next? Fight obesity by outlawing plateware and cutlery? These are all bad faith, tail wagging the dog strategies. It's insane. Ultimately, we have to ask ourselves a very straightforward question. Do guns save more lives than they kill? Well, actually, they do. And they do so provably. We were referencing this yesterday. Because when all else fails, gun control advocates always reference the 33,000 killed by guns each year. And by the way, a third of those are suicides. But they never cite the 100,000 times a year that folks are saved from robbery, rape, and murder by the mere brandishing of a firearm. And this is reported by the DOJ's annual National Crime Victimization Survey. You got that? 100,000 people are saved from robbery, rape, and murder by the mere brandishing of a firearm, as shown to us by the Department of Justice's annual National Crime Victimization Survey. So is it fair to say that looking at the numbers, guns and the Second Amendment are saving more lives than they're taking? You bet your backside.
Hi, this is Anna D'Souza, television host and lifestyle expert. If you're still scrambling to get ready for back to school, don't worry. You can still get it all done without the stress. I like to keep it simple. One trip, one store, and a short list. Target makes it so easy. Their 20 for $20 list covers all the teacher must-haves, pencils, glue, scissors, crayons, notebooks, all in one stop. For lunches, parents can grab good and gather favorites like organic applesauce pouches, fruit strips, yogurt pouches, sun butter sandwiches, and fresh mandarins. Everything is easy to pack, budget-friendly, and kid-approved. First day outfits are easy with Cat and Jack mix-and-match staples and a great backpack like the Champion Estate. And for older students heading to college, Target's Room Essentials line has everything from shower caddies and towels to a storage ottoman and even a cute mug for their morning coffee. Head to your nearest Target store or visit Target.com or the Target app to find all the great ways to save and check out Target Circle for additional.
The spirit of Fred Rogers lives on when two hit spinoffs of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood come together for the first time. The Emmy-winning puppet series Don Quixote will welcome friends from the Emmy-winning Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood in a new crossover special premiering August 11th on PBS Kids. In Daniel Tiger Visits Someplace Else, Daniel Tiger meets Don Quixote, and the new pals embark on an epic adventure full of fun and surprises. The special episode even includes a new version of the classic Fred Rogers song, Look and Listen, which encourages young viewers to ask questions to get to know someone better. Don Quixote co-executive producer, Kristen DiQualo.
Bringing Don Quixote and Daniel Tiger together in this special has been a really exciting way for us to build on the legacy of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which inspires everything that we do. And I can't wait for families to see Daniel in the colorful, joyful world of Someplace Else with Donkey and her pals.
The Don Quixote crossover special begins streaming Monday, August 11th on PBS Kids.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give me a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. Well, the mass shooting of kids in Minneapolis is still dominating the conversations around the country, as well as it should. Of course, you got Democrats blaming guns versus the monsters who are abusing them. Why is that? And why is the media enabling them? I was reading recently in the Washington Examiner, a very thoughtful piece by David Zimmerman, and the headline is What to Know About the Minneapolis Annunciation Catholic Church Shooting. What to Know About the Minneapolis Annunciation Catholic Church Shooting. Now, in addition to the Washington Examiner of obviously carrying it in their own on their own publication's website, you'll have also MSN News that will pick up various stories from various publications, and they did the same in this instance, but they censored it. They censored it. Here's the uncensored version from the Washington Examiner, just the excerpt that has the uncensored part. And then I'm going to read the how it sounds in its censored fashion with MSN News. Here from Washington Examiner, directly from their own publication. Robin Westman, who had no prior criminal history, carried a rifle, shotgun, and pistol at the time of the shooting, with a recorded manifesto believed to have been posted by the shooter showing rifle magazines adorned with various messages, including "Kill Donald Trump." Written on weapon parts, ammunition, and smoke grenades were other messages such as "Israel must fall" and "6 million wasn't enough," as well as quote-unquote "for the children" and "where is your God," okay? Now for the Washington Examiner as represented by MSN News. Ronnie Westman, who had no prior criminal history, carried a rifle, shotgun, and pistol at the time of the shooting. O'Hara said all three weapons were purchased lawfully. Okay, and they go on with other things, but that whole section about the manifesto and what he had written on his magazines and weaponry, all that, and what his intentions were, left out. So they were trying to water down who this person was. Now, of course, you know, social media being what it is, folks found out despite those who would otherwise censor. So thank God we have as open a media as we do, because we need these kinds of counterbalancing to those who would otherwise suppress information. And, of course, they always try to get away with it by saying, well, sometimes censorship makes sense because we have to fight misinformation. Well, misinformation is something that must be shown, not merely asserted. Okay, anybody who ever disagrees with somebody else, all people who disagree with one another do so because each believes the other to be misinformed. But that's never been a justification for curtailing the free speech rights of either. Okay, misinformation, claims of misinformation and claims of disinformation must be shown, not merely asserted. Otherwise, it's the perfect formula for one side to shut down the other. Arguments have to rise and fall on their merits. That's how all arguments should be measured, on their merits. But that can't happen when you have one side who gets to quash the dissent of the other. And we're never going to have an understanding of what really is going on at any given time, unless we have both sides being heard. Now, people would say, but then you let misinformation out. Well, the best weapon against misinformation or disinformation is the free speech that allows others to counter it. That's the best weapon against disinformation, letting people call it out. But misinformation and disinformation must be determined after the airing out of the arguments. It can't be claimed by the dictates of one side over the other, and then subsequent to that, have no more discussion. That's ridiculous. And that's what we're having, even after this tragedy. It's obscene. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing over on the show, Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. His editorials on fiscal policies have appeared nationwide, including the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. He's testified on plenty of occasions concerning government waste issues before congressional committees and regulatory bodies. Tom Schatz, between the censorship attempts and the recasting of the discussion as of needing to ban guns versus trying to no longer affirming those who are experiencing trans dysphoria when, in fact, doing so only further endangers the lives of the people in focus as well as those around them. It does appear as if we have a calamity of tragedies that might still yet to come, might be yet to come. Tom Schatz.
Well, there are a lot of factors, of course, involved in all of these tragedies, and it's never a simple question or answer. But the left always turns to guns, 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 nothing else. They don't have solutions other than banning guns. Minneapolis mayor, who's been raving about this for years, just doesn't get what really can be done or should be done or at least discussed. Perhaps more attention being paid to what people are saying or doing, or certainly mental health is a massive issue with these kinds of tragedies that has been shown over time. These are mostly individuals who decide on their own to do this. That's really tough to find, but it has nothing to do with the guns. It has to do with figuring out as much as possible how this can be prevented in the first place. And it's not one answer.
No, it's not. And the banning of guns, I think, it really has no connectivity to it because it presupposes that there wouldn't be a black market providing these guns anyway. I mean, we saw it with alcohol. People were accustomed to having alcohol. You took it away. So in the name of stopping the few who couldn't behave responsibly with alcohol, we were taking the privilege away from the many. Same thing with guns. What, in the name of stopping the few who can't be responsible, along with the harm they cause, we're going to tell the many, oh, you can't have them? I never understood how it was that taking the right of gun ownership away from the law abiding would somehow ever stop the lawless from doing what they're doing. Where am I mistaken?
No, it doesn't. There's always a way. It's the same thing with illegal drugs. They were legal, but they were around. They get sold all over the place. Look, fentanyl is illegal, but look how many people it killed. So it's not the weapon or the drug or anything else. It's the fact that people eventually find a way to get something
and abuse
that they want and abuse it.
And abuse it. So I'm screaming the question, how does disarming the law-abiding stop the lawless who would harm them? And I don't think the left really have an answer for that. And then, of course, you've got folks who are completely disconnected from any knowledge that really should be a requisite before opening your mouth on this issue. You got people like House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries saying, weapons of war have no place in our neighborhood streets or schools. Well, since when is an effing rifle, shotgun, or a pistol somehow in the category of weapons of war? I mean, yeah, maybe when we were fighting for our freedom against the Brits in 1775 and 1776. But, I mean, aside from that, since when has a regular rifle or pistol ever been a weapon of war, Tom Schatz?
Well, only when it's to their benefit to make that statement. But all it does is generate more support from a small group of people that believe this. But the majority of Americans understand that this is about a person or a group of people making the decision to do something terribly wrong, and they will figure out a way to do it no matter what you ban or how often you try to ban it.
Precisely. It strikes me that if every time this happens, we can never have a conversation about the criminal who was motivated to abuse whatever weapon was used in the perpetration of that crime, in the perpetrating of that crime. If we can never talk about them and instead must always preoccupy ourselves with the inanimate object they used to commit said crime, we're never going to get to the root of this. And that's exactly what the left wants. Tom Schatz, always a blast. Stick with us.
Substance use and mental health often go hand in hand. Research shows that teens who struggle with their mental health are more likely to use drugs and alcohol. That's why the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention launched the Free Mind campaign to help prevent substance use and overdose among youth ages 12 to 17. As a parent or caregiver, you play a powerful role. Staying connected with your teen can reduce their risk for drug use. Before you talk to them about drugs, talk to them about how they're really doing. And remember, empathy is key. Ask questions, listen without judgment, lead with compassion, let them know they're not alone. Because sometimes, an open and honest conversation between you and your teen can make all the difference. Learn how to start a conversation at cdc.gov/freemind/parents. That's cdc.gov/freemind/parents. Sponsored by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we are still focusing on this mass shooting of the children in Minneapolis and how the Democrats are blaming guns versus the monsters who abuse them. This is how they think we should deal with it, as if it's okay to presuppose that the banning of guns would somehow stop the use of guns. No, we've got 400 million of them in here. It's very, very strange to assert that disarming the law-abiding would somehow stop the lawless. It doesn't work that way. And as I also mentioned, we have to remember that guns actually save more lives than they take away. Okay, we forget. I mean, the gun control nuts are always talking about the 33,000 that are killed by guns each year, but they never cite the 100,000 times a year that folks are saved from robbery, rape, and murder. How? By the mere brandishing of a firearm. As reported by the Department of Justice's own annual National Crime Victimization Survey. Okay? This matters. These facts matter. These facts have always mattered. But for some reason, if you bring it up, you're scolded. There's certain things we're not supposed to discuss. Because after all, we're all about stopping disinformation. Democrats openly advocate censorship in the name of fighting what they label as disinformation. And by the way, they do this while forbidding challenge to their use of the damn term. I mean, isn't that a neat trick? Here's why we're shutting you down, but we're not permitting you to dispute the label in whose name we're doing it. Oh, please. For example, the left cannot credibly characterize defending the censorial structure of DEI as a fight for free speech and still be taken seriously because it's an acronym that has no linkage to the words upon which it is predicated. Why? Because its diversity is actually against the diversity of individual thought. Its equity is against the equity of merit. And its inclusion is most assuredly against the inclusion of all. Why? Because it's all universally prioritized by race. The best way to fight disinformation is through free speech-based dissent and not via DEI, which, of course, is based on the dictates of the left over all who might disagree. Again, let arguments rise and fall on their merits, or in the famous words of the late, great Richard Pryor, have a Coke and a smile and shut the F up. How's that for censoring? But it's only my opinion. Not ever going to say that anybody should ever have the power to actually suppress your counter. It is because we need both sides always arguing that we eventually get to the truth. And anybody who's really guilty of misinformation or disinformation will be exposed through that process. Not through the quashing of dissent, but by the identifying of that disinformation through the reciprocal right of dissent. Anyway, without further ado, sticking around, we appreciate his time. Always a pleasure. Old friend of the show, Tom Schatz, once again president of Citizens Against Government Waste. You've seen his writings in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Tom, appreciate you sticking around. If it's all right with you, I want to go ahead and pivot to a little bit of politics here, aside from the craziness we've been discussing. And it has to do with Democrats actually thinking that the same old is working, even though, as you may have heard, I'm sure, the New York Times recently reported that between 2020 and 2024, Democrats have lost 2.1 million registered voters, while the GOP have gained 2.4. So it's a windfall of 4.5 million to the advantage of the GOP when you think about it. That all notwithstanding, they seem to replicate the very same losing strategy, and it's driving James Carville nuts. He was on recently with Al Hunt. I've had Al Hunt on my show a number of times. I've got to get him back. And he is very upset with the recent DNC meeting in Minneapolis. Have a listen to this clip 7. James, if you please.
DNC Chairman Ken Martin began the meeting by inviting Lindy Sowmick, S-O-W-M-I-C-K, I'm reading from here, a self-described indigenous queer woman, unquote, to acknowledge the land had been taken from the Dakota people. Lady, you're right. That land, what we did to Native Americans is really been well documented, and it is a sad part of our nation's history. Why are you bringing this up in an election? This is an election, and the DNC is not the place to discuss this. Understand this. The DNC does not exist to right wrongs. It doesn't exist to acknowledge the more unpleasant parts of history. It doesn't exist to make people feel good. It exists, get this through your head, to win elections. Please stop this. In the name of a just, merciful God, don't you see what's happening? Don't you see where this has brought us to?
Just talking closer.
Well, why are you stopping?
Anyway, Tom Schatz to you. It seems as if this he's very, very desperate in the name of a merciful God. I mean, could he be backseat driving anymore if he were an orangutan with long arms? I mean, oh, my God. Tom Schatz.
Well, yes. Well, he likes to talk, as we know, and he likes to pontificate and spout out lots of different things. He has a point, though. And he has said this for a while, as have others, that look, this is the among many reasons why Donald Trump was elected. It was talking about issues that mean very little to people who are worried about putting bread on the table, paying the electric bill, paying the gas bill. You know, I saw the other day, and it's obvious from people when they see the price of gas, it's the lowest it's been in 5 years over Labor Day weekend. They know that things are working well in the economy, and that Donald Trump has done what he said, close the border, reduce the size and scope of the federal government. So this is something that is making them crazy, and they don't have an answer to that, right? They don't have a better way to do what he's doing. So as he succeeds, all they can do is talk about things that most people don't care about and think that's going to win the election.
And what's so strange is that people fail to realize that we need to account for our abuses in history. But when it comes to land acquired through conflicts endured or even purchases endured, it becomes a whole different story. We can't start expecting to do the shuffle, taking us back to whatever point in history people think would then be fair. I mean, whether we like to admit it or not, all the borders around the planet currently exist because of struggles resulting in results, if you will, because of struggles leading to results. Louisiana land purchase, Thomas Jefferson bought it, you know, on our behalf from France. But also, even when you look at those who've been abused, I mean, let's look at, oh my God, what horrible things we've done, whether it's slavery or what we did to the Japanese in World War II, frog marching these often Japanese-American heroes from World War I, there they are being frog marched with their uniforms on, with their ribbons on, into detention centers because they look like our enemies at the time who were more definable because of their features. These are horrific things that we did. But we can't expect to start giving up land. And I think this gentleman, the Raging Cajun, understands that. And also, when we look at these folks, we'll see that even among the Indian community, of which there were many, many tribes, they themselves had carved out certain territories. Why? Because of battles they had amongst themselves. Same thing true in Africa. You had tribes that had, you know, certain territories that each claimed over the other because of why? Battles they had amongst themselves that led to results. Am I missing anything here, Tom Schatz?
No, but look, it's a way, again, for the left to say, or Democrats in this case, that, oh, we're going to do something to help what? Help whom? Not the people in the Midwest or the middle of the country or in any other small community or town or city that are simply trying to make things work and make ends meet, right? This may be something to have a discussion about, but it's not going to solve any problem that people are having when you can't possibly do all this. It's the same with reparations. Which is another subject, right? Like who, when, how long? People alive today had nothing to do with what happened 200 years ago. So why are you making them pay for what happens then, right? And so there are so many ways to look at this that just make it a discussion that isn't going to go anywhere and isn't going to win more than like two votes.
Yeah, isn't it an understanding that the sins of the father can never be visited upon the son? I mean, are you going to lock a guy up because his dad was a horrible person and broke many, many laws? No. So by that measure, it seems kind of strange that we handcuff an entire current population because of the misadventures and tragedies and abuses of the previous generation. Or am I oversimplifying this, Tom Schatz?
You're being too logical. They don't get that when they're trying to do what they're trying to do. Yes, you make sense, as right. always, but it's not how they think.
No. And even though it's not how they think, that, of course, is not a measure of whether or not we should continue to press the point that they need to think anew. Well, maybe if for no other reason than political existentialism, they'll start listening to Carvel in this area. Anyway, Tom Schott's always a blast. Folks, you're listening to the Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
We have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public, we want policymakers, we want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pva.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriersstillexist.
We know summers are packed with activities, and Whataburger's got you covered with big flavor and big value. For a limited time this summer, you can order more for less with our bigger, better bundles. Just order your favorite Whatameal, and you can add on a bonus meal. You can add on a $4 kids Whatameal, a $5 double meat junior Whatameal, or $6 nine-piece Whata wings. Or if you're just feeding the kids, these bundles work for kids meals too. Just order a kids meal, and you can add on another one for just $4. Really is the perfect way to make sure everyone is fed and happy this summer. We've also got Whataburger's brand new prickly pear raspberry water fresher. It's a bright, refreshing mix of zesty lemon, real raspberry, and a hint of prickly pear. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it now. We are full on into our summer of savings mode, and we've got really special things coming up for our 75th birthday on August 8th. For more information, you can visit whataburger.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. Well, there's a lot of discussion over whether or not people should be praying after the Minnesota catastrophe, absolute mind-bending tragedy. Again, as I said before, there's not a language born of this planet that has the appropriate vocabulary to describe the horror that has befallen so many. I mean, oh my God, two kids killed, 14 other children injured between, what, 6 and 15 years of age. You have, of course, three elderly folks also shot. Thank God most are going to survive. Matter of fact, I think all of them are going to survive, except obviously for the two we lost. But there's been a lot of debate over whether or not we should be discussing how we need to have thoughts and prayers. In my estimation, it's just the coping mechanism. It's the way people deal with their grief. It's not that anybody who embraces this or says we should be doing this is suggesting that this is how tragedies are preempted. It's not a weapon. But, yeah, people like Mayor Frey from Minneapolis, who are of the opinion that it's squandering of our time, not worth very much. Let's have a listen to him before we go to our illustrious guest. This Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, Democrat, glibly discussing people offering thoughts and prayers and saying he doesn't want to be bothered with that because of the tragedy that happened. Clip 9, James, if you please.
And don't just say this is about thoughts and prayers right now. These kids were literally praying. It was the first week of school. They were in a church.
Now, in response to this, you have people like Bishop Bishop Barron, who's apparently a Catholic leader who has a lot of sway. He's with the diocese of Winona, Rochester. He said that critics really don't grasp what the role of prayer is. He says, quote, "Prayer is the raising of the mind and heart to God, which strikes me as altogether appropriate precisely at times of great pain." He went on to say, and prayer by no means stands in contrast to decisive moral action. Martin Luther King was a man of deep prayer who also effected a social revolution in our country. This is not an either-or proposition. And I thought that was a marvelous way of putting it. And I say this as somebody who's deist. All right, I was raised Jewish, but I gave up the faith. I'm deist. I'm what Thomas Jefferson was. I believe in God, but not through any organized religion. But I do respect and appreciate when people pray, especially in response to horrific tragedies that are just indecipherable when trying to break down and unpack why they happen. And to that end, in that regard, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing Pastor Mark Billets. My apologies. Pastor Mark Billets. He is founder and senior pastor of El Shaddai Ministries in Washington State. He lectured at congregations and conferences in 12 countries on 5 continents. He's been on the cover of magazines and done numerous radio and television interviews. By the way, he's author of 4 bestsellers, with his latest highly praised work being America at War. Pastor Billets, good to have you back on the Alan Nathan Show. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, and I sure appreciate being on your program.
No, our pleasure. Our pleasure to have you back. Well, you heard we quoting Bishop Barron, making it abundantly clear that this is not, when it comes to prayer, this is not an either-or proposition. He's not saying that we should do prayer as a remedy to stop what's happened. He's saying prayer is serving a different purpose. It sounds to me like he's saying it's an understandable coping mechanism and should not be mocked nor scorned. Your take on it.
Well, we absolutely need to have our thoughts and prayers activated. You know, from a Jewish standpoint, the mitzvot, the commandments, they are things that we're to do. And that's why we need both. If you remember in the Torah, in Bamidbar, in the book of Numbers, here Moses and all of Israel were weeping before the door of the congregation when this one couple was committing adultery right in front of them. And there was a priest named Pinchas or Phinehas who took the javelin, he took action, and to him was given an everlasting priesthood. And so prayers are definitely good, but a lot of times it takes that action. And it's the same thing with Deborah. Remember, this was a battle of the Lord. It was not just Deborah's or Israel's battle. It was a battle of the Lord. And what do we find happen? They ended up singing Deborah's song, praising the tribes that came and helped her with this battle. And then she was upset at Reuben because they just had great thoughts of heart. And she said, you have great thoughts of heart, but why are you sitting among the sheepfolds?
So wait. It sounds then as if you're suggesting that we do need to have action in addition to prayer. But clearly, when the Democrats openly scorn prayer, you would not subscribe to that tactic, would you?
Absolutely not. There has to be both.
Here's the problem. It's not just action for action's sake. You have to have action that has some connectivity in whose name the problem is going to be solved. And right now, the Democrats' knee-jerk reaction is to just ban guns. But how does disarming the law-abiding ever stop the lawless? Who would harm them? Sir.
Exactly. No, I am totally pro-gun, 110%. As a matter of fact, in our congregation, our security team says they'll duck if someone comes in. About everybody's armed. But, I really believe.
You know what? I think we ought to just take a page out of their book and do a jujitsu move on them and say, okay, let's do you one better. You want to do more than just pray as you mock it? You say we need action. Yeah. Your action is the banning of guns. How about hardening the security at both schools and places of worship instead of letting them remain soft targets for the demented who are, let's face it, still bright enough to know that they're going to be more successful in killing more people at places where folks are known to be unarmed versus armed. I mean, you don't have a lot of mass shootings taking place at police stations or military bases or other armed government installations, do you, sir?
Well, the Democrats won't want to blame the victim anyway. You see that all the time. They're blaming the poor victim. And so they're really wrong on both ends of the spectrum.
So you'll agree with them that we have to do more than just pray, but at the same time, we can't just presuppose that not going along with their remedy is tantamount to immorality or harming people. Because the bottom line is, and I keep mentioning this, we have to remember that guns have saved more lives than they take away. We lose 33,000. We lose 33,000 a year through guns, but as reported by the Department of Justice's own annual National Crime Victimization Survey, 100,000 times a year we see folks save themselves from robbery, rape, and murder by the mere brandishing of a firearm. So let's look at the rudiments of math. 100,000 versus 33,000. And oh, by the way, a third of that 33,000 are attributable to suicide. Anyway.
Yep.
As always, great to have you. Pastor Mark Billitz, thanks again.
You hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.